Robert Fortow. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Fortow.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Fortow, and you're listening to Mushing Radio on KVRF FM 89.5 here in the Matsu Valley and on download on mushingradio.com. And make sure you check out our brand new iPod and Android app at the App Store. Just check out KVRF FM or Radio Free Palmer there. Tonight we're having a special guest on. We're talking about racing. We've had, for the last few months, we've had a lot of Iditarod mushers on, everybody from the champion all the way down to dang near the folks that are coming in the last place, but not to be forgotten, they had to get to the Iditarod somehow, and one of the races that we're going to be talking about today is one of those Iditarod qualifiers for the rookies. It is the Don Bowers 200 and the Don Bowers 300, which is held, I believe it's going to be the third weekend of January this year, the 18th and 19th of January, starting out of Willow. We have on tonight, calling in from Arizona. She's down there basking in the sun, I assume, until it comes up here and gets a little bit colder for us. Her name is Beth Wheeler. She is the race manager for the Don Bowers races. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for joining us this evening. Tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into the race itself.
Well, I first got up until last in 1992. I'm medically retired from the Marine Corps, and I got a chance to work for the Park Service on the Kobuk River, and I spent 10 years in the village of Ambler mushing dogs and subsistence hunting and fishing, and then I moved to Talkeetna in 2002.
And now you're down in Arizona. What's the weather like down there?
It's way too hot. I'd much rather be up where it's cool and cold, because you can always put on more clothes, but you can only take so many off.
That's exactly right. And you know, last night we had a pretty good little snow storm come through Willow, Talkeetna area. I haven't been home yet. I left in the dark this morning, but I think we finally have enough snow up in that area to run dogs on sleds. A lot of people up in the Willow area very anxious to get out the old hardware in the backyard and take the dogs out for a spin.
I'm sure they are. I know it's, been keeping up on the radio and on the internet as far as the weather conditions, and several of my friends up there have been posting on Facebook, and there's a couple of them that are actually on sleds right now in the Willow area.
Very cool. So we're looking forward to getting our teams out here probably tonight or tomorrow, depending on what time we get home. But besides all that, you guys have a race to put on, and it's a little bit different than a lot of races. It's not as intense as some of the more well-known races like the new Northern Lights race and the Copper Basin and some of those other longer 200 or 300-mile races. You guys do the Don Bowers 300. It's typically on the last weekend of January. You've had that race for the last several years, but this year you guys moved it up questions and answers of folks wanting to get those qualifiers in. You guys were courteous enough to move it up a week. So now you have a qualifier that other people can join that may have gone elsewhere, right?
That's correct. We had been on the last weekend in January since its inception in 2000. And also the T Plus Arena was also on that weekend. And then when the Northern Lights, that was what was available for their volunteers, we all kind of visited, and Mike Santos was real instrumental in us, both the Tustamina and ourselves, moving our races to accommodate the mushers, because there really wasn't that many options for mushers to be on the road system to do their 200 and 300-mile qualifiers. So, and our main focus has always been the mushers, so that's why we decided to move, because we have a real small core group of volunteers, and we aren't reliant on any sponsors, so we can pretty much do what we need to based on our volunteers and what the mushers need. So we were in a good position to be able to do this year, and we're happy to do it.
You know, I definitely want to get into some of the history of the race and talk a little bit about Don Bowers himself in just a second. But before we do that, the Don Bowers 2 and 300-mile race, if you could, kind of in a nutshell, describe the race, maybe a little bit of, you know, for folks listening outside, a little bit of where it runs, where you start, where we end, and, you know, what separates this race from some of the big boys like the Copper Basin and the Northern Lights?
Well, the main thing that separates our race is because we are a loosely organized group, we can pretty much do what we want to with the trail. And the trail, we try to have a very type of trail so that they can get a little bit of experience of every type of situation that they might have to face on the Iditarod or on the Yukon Quest. Jim Kirshner is our main trail person, and he's been doing the trail since the beginning of the race. He was also Iditarod trail breaker and has been with the Iditarod for years and years. And without him, there wouldn't be a Don Bowers primarily. And the race trail pretty much changes a lot every year because of different snow conditions, different trail conditions. Last year, he ended up putting the trail in three times because of the trail conditions, because of the snow level. And the main thing that separates us from the others is we keep our prize money low. 50% of the proceeds guaranteed go to the prize money for the 200 and 300. But because we don't have sponsors, that takes a lot of the competitive edge. Mushers are finding that they're not having to win the race in order to keep their kennel open, and therefore we can keep our entry fees low. So we can focus on the rookie mushers, and it's all on the road system. Our checkpoints are, so it's easy for the mushers. If they need to stop after the first 100 miles, then they just load their dogs up in the truck and head out. And we have it accessible for, you know, crews that don't have all the big rigs and everything that goes along with some of the bigger mushing teams that have a lot more invested in it. So it's a lot more user-friendly to the rookie musher who may be just throwing their dogs in the back of a truck and heading our way. That's the primary difference, is we have the low kitty, and our whole focus is a very low-key, low-stress environment for new mushers, rookies, and for training of teams that are future Iditarod teams, because it's a good puppy training, because it is such a low-stress environment that the experienced mushers can take the time to help the rookie mushers, yet it's still a challenging enough trail that they're going to get an experience of what they may face on either the Yukon Quest or the Iditarod.
You know, Beth, that was my next question, and great lead into that. You say that you're a low-key, kind of low-stress race, but this is truly a qualifier for the Iditarod and the Quest. It is designed to prepare rookie mushers for the big race. So it is often not taken very lightly by the mushers that are involved. They are very serious about doing a race like this, aren't they?
Yes, they are. The primary thing is that we have, it's mushers for mushers. The majority of the crew that, in fact, all of the crew that started the Don Bowers and has been with it since 2000 are mushers. They have been involved in the Iditarod. Joe May was one of them. He won the Iditarod back in the 80s. And so these guys know what's required. So we, as a race unit, as a race organization, we don't qualify people unless we feel that they're going to be safe on the trail and their dogs are going to be safe. So we take our portion of that very seriously. And the trail is challenging because it isn't some of the hard-packed trails that some of the other races have the opportunity to be on, because we don't stick to the river. We travel through a trail area between Willow and Trapper Creek that is not constantly traveled. So some of the trails may have been set up, but overnight they blew in, so they're not as soft, or excuse me, not as hard and well-packed and well-defined as some of the other races can put on. We also don't have as large of a volunteer force doing our trail breaking, so there is not as much travel on the trails. So there's really a lot of challenges for the musher out there. Philip Walters did a real good synopsis, because he went out there thinking he was going to qualify, and it was really one of his first races. And mushing has a way of humbling everybody and reminding you that we have no control, and it's all up to the dogs and the weather and the environment. So it is a tough race. The stakes aren't as high because you're not going to be losing a $10,000, you know, winning fee. But as far as the challenges and the seriousness of it being a qualifier, the race organization and the mushers do take it very seriously.
So let's talk a little bit about that qualifying status. This year's field is filled with a lot of up-and-coming mushers. What should they look out for? I know two in particular are listening to us tonight, and they wanted to know this answer from you tonight. What are you guys looking for from these rookie mushers? You said that, you know, you take it very seriously. You're not going to sign off unless you know that they are prepared. What are some of the things that these guys need to do to make sure that they do what they're supposed to do?
The Iditarod and the Yukon Quest both have established requirements that they have for the races to follow as far as the rules and regs on what they want us to grade the folks on. Because as the race manager, and I myself have not been a racer, I've been a musher for years, and I was fortunate enough to do the serum run with Don Bowers the year that he passed. So I do have mushing experience, but not the race experience. The primary thing is the ability to take care of your dogs, the ability to take care of yourself, and to handle situations that you're not normally prepared for, to be able to think on your feet and to get out of a situation that could be fatal for yourself or your dogs. And that's kind of the things that we try to prepare, because in the past, on the conditions, folks lost dogs on the Iditarod because the dogs froze. And we do have extreme cold weather, and some years it's really warm. But the primary thing that we look for is that we feel confident that this individual, number one, is not going to put himself in danger on the trail, and number two, isn't going to put their dogs in danger on the trail. As far as the specific details, they can get with the Iditarod and the Yukon Quest website for, the specifics. But we try to run it as if this was, one of the bigger races, because we do have sled checks. There is required equipment that they have to have in their sled. And we do really, it's really difficult to pinpoint specific things. The primary thing is to pay attention to your dogs. That should be the first thing, especially coming into the checkpoints as a race judge and as a checkpoint judge. The things that I look for, even after they've checked in at the checkpoint, is their first and primary focus should be getting the dog settled. If they're out gallivanting somewhere and looking about or trying to get on the phone because they need to call somebody because they forgot something, that, to me, is something that I would prefer not to see. I would prefer to see them at the dogs, getting the dog settled, getting the dog straw, getting their booties off, and getting the dogs comfortable. Obviously, it does take some time to get your food ready, but you do need to get the dog settled and comfortable and resting, and then you can go and take care of your personal business in that type of thing. So that's about as detailed as I really can get as far as what we expect.
And that's a great answer. And I assume, and again, this is some of my first qualifying as well, it's almost like a report card for some of these rookie mushers. It's not browbeating and say, you didn't do what you're supposed to do. It's also a learning exercise, isn't it?
That's the primary thing, is they need to learn. I helped a young musher. She used my freight dogs for the Junior Iditarod, and the difference between this young woman before her first race and after her first race was unbelievable, because you find out, number one, what you're lacking, and number two, you find strengths that you never knew you had. And it's amazing what people can do when they're in a situation, they're out by themselves, and they don't have somebody to turn around and say, oh, my gosh, what do I do? You can't always get reception on your cell phone. You may have to make a decision. Do I put the dog in the basket? Do I stop and rest? And so there's a lot of decisions to make out there, and you can really learn a lot. Number one, if you're doing a schedule and you find out that the dogs aren't ready to go when your schedule's over, then you know that you need to increase the time frames that you need to stop or lower them. If your dogs are too antsy and none of them are resting, then you know that you need to head out earlier. So it's really a chance to test yourself and your dogs and to find out what's going to really, in a real-time race, work. Because just because it happened at training and worked in training does not mean it's going to happen in the chaos of a checkpoint. That's why some of the folks like Vern Halter and some of the other mushers have used their puppy teams and had them stay the night, even though they did the first 100 miles, and the next morning judged whether the puppies all got up and were raring to go, well, then they did go ahead and finish the race. But if the puppies got up and they really weren't sure, they'd throw them in the box. But at least the puppies had the experience of all the chaos and all the excitement and all the other dogs and all the things that go on at a checkpoint so that the dogs can learn how to rest themselves and not be sitting worrying about everybody else, because the next morning they still got to get up and go. And so it's a really good experience for everybody to figure out just who, what, and how to do things out there.
You know, Beth Wheeler is our guest tonight, talking about the Don Bowers 200 and 300. You know, Beth, you typically are starting the last weekend in January, and it usually coincides with the Willow Winter Carnival, which is a huge event up in Willow. You guys start right there one of the first days of the carnival, and you're finishing that same weekend. Now that you're doing it a little bit earlier, are you receiving some type of a different response from guys, good and bad? I know you said that Mike Santos was instrumental in this. Mike Santos, for folks that don't know, he's an Iditarod musher and is helping some folks out get to the Iditarod. What are some of the challenges that you guys are facing by running it earlier this year versus how you've done it for years past?
About the only change that we're noticing is we are going to be starting from Eagle Quest instead of starting at the Willow Community Center, because normally that area and parking is all plowed in conjunction with the Willow Carnival. So that's the only real change that we're seeing that's going to be affecting us. Otherwise, it really doesn't impact, because we in the past couple of years, the 200 race has finished at Eagle Quest. And this year we're going to be finishing at Eagle Quest, and then we have the layover at Eagle Quest also. And for the 300 racers, we've done that in the past, because Eagle Quest is out away from you know, town a little bit, so it's a little bit quieter, a little bit more dog friendly than right there at the Willow Community Center. So it really hasn't had as much impact as it could have had we been more based right in around Willow, since our race does go from Willow all the way out through Oil Well out on Petersville Road and Oil Well Road and then into Trapper Creek. Most of the race time is spent out away from Willow anyway. One thing that is been helpful, we have the Boy Scouts. They, in the past years, have come out and helped us. And in previous years, they had helped the Willow Carnival. So that's one thing that they may be doing on a separate event. But otherwise, it really hasn't changed or affected us a whole lot.
And your guys' website, just to mention it real quick, is donbowersmemorialrace.com or .org. Which is it?
DonBowersMemorialRace.org.
And we'll make sure that we post that on the show page as well. Beth, we're about halfway through our show here, talking to Beth Wheeler on Mushing Radio tonight. She is the race manager for the Don Bowers 200 and 300. That's going to take place around this third weekend of January up here in the Mat-Su Valley. Beth, let's talk a little bit about Mr. Don Bowers. He's a man of legend in these parts, isn't he?
Yes, he was a pilot out of Talkeetna, and he's run the Iditarod four times. And the day before the sign-up for the 2001 Iditarod, he ended up having an aircraft accident on Denali, and he and his passengers were killed. Hmm. And so, but in 2000, the way the Don Bowers got started is in 2000 he had done the serum run with myself, and Don is one of these fellas that he's fun to watch with his dogs, because he's very calm, he's very quiet, and at our serum run meetings, if anybody had any questions, he was always very willing to provide his insight, and he'd already had written his book at the back of the pack, and it was kind of interesting because we all felt that he could almost tell us each rock and what side of the rock had moss on it on the trail, because his memory and his recall of the idiosyncrasies of the trail from the Nanuch Gnome that we were facing were just unbelievable. And he was always willing to help. I was coming in from the village of Ambler with a bunch of freight dogs, and I'd never really done anything like that. I'd learned how to mush the dogs, and the first time I hooked up, I had to get on the CB radio to find out what all the ropes were for. So folks in the village were taking bets on what I'd look like, because I was living 12 miles outside of the village. And he was just, as for somebody like me, he was just a wonderful person to be around, because there was a lot of strong-willed people, a lot of strong emotions, and he was always kind of a calm amongst some of the storms that would happen, which are normal with mushers, because you have to be outgoing, you have to be assertive, you have to be capable, or you can't mush, because it just doesn't work. So, and he got with a bunch of fellas, Joe May, Jim Kirshner, Mike Bishop, Roy Monk. They were all folks from the Trapper Creek Willow area, and they talked about how the Iditarod was getting so fast and quick, and that some of the other races, the money that was involved was getting fairly big, and there really wasn't a place for a rookie musher with a low-key fun race for them to get the bugs out, you know, like we talked about earlier, to learn and just be able to have a low entry fee, so not a lot invested, so it wasn't that important that they won. And so these fellas just started a race in 2000, and then when he was killed, they called it the Don Barros Memorial Race. And from our rules, the objective is it's a race organized by mushers. It's not a money race, and the purse will be minimal. Checkpoints are located on the road system for ease of logistics and to maximize dog care and safety. It's intended to provide experience for beginning mushers and to be an enjoyable run for more experienced drivers. And that was written by Don, and we've had it incorporated in our race rules, and that's just the kind of guy that he was. And there's a lot of folks that know him, a lot of folks in the lower 48 who followed him, because he had a real detailed blog on the Internet while he was doing the race. And he never really was in it to win it. He was in it for the experience and for the time to share with his dogs.
Very cool story. Thanks for sharing. You know, there's a lot of memorial races out there, and everybody has their stories of what makes those races special, and yours included. I think it's a great race, a great way for people to pay that memorial to some of the fallen mushers, because Lord knows it happens all the time. We are we're a dangerous bunch out there with accidents and things, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Myself, I've been knocked out and unconscious and stitches and medevac to my dog team in the bush, and it is, and your sleds get broken, you get broken, the dogs get broken. I mean, it can happen in a heartbeat. You have a moose stomp through your trail, and next thing you know, you've got, you know, dogs injured, dogs dead, you know, you're injured, and so there's a lot of unknowns and variables. Alaska, you're a member of the food chain out there, and
right.
And mushing has a way of reminding you that you don't have a lot of control. You know, if you haven't lost your team once or been bruised and battered around, you probably haven't had a whole lot of fun. And the nice thing about this race is we had the Jim Kirshners and the Mike Bishops and the Roy Monks and the Joe Mays, who have this wealth of experience that they are so willing to share. Joe has had some heart issues, so last year and this year he hasn't been participating with the race, so we've been starting to go out of Jim Kirshner's place, but he's still involved and he's still willing to, you know, offer insight on the races and the things that go on. So that's one of the things about the Don Barros that I enjoy. I got involved in 2004, and I didn't have much choice because the apartment that I was renting from Joe and Sandra May ended up being the sleeping cabin in for the mushers overnight, so I was volunteered to be a part of it, and it's been a joy to be a part of it since then. And like I said, the volunteers have almost as much fun as the mushers do, because we really enjoy the camaraderie. We've had several mushers that have come in. Karen Ramstead is one of the folks that I just get such an inspiration from, because she's always so positive, and she always can find the humor in the trail and the humor in the silly things that she does and the mishaps that she has. She's got a real good site on Facebook, the North Wapati blog, that follows her adventures. And mushers really have a lot of stories. I don't think there's a single musher out there that doesn't have some type of near-death experience and then magical experience. You spend 99% of your time not on the on the runners, and you get kind of sick of it, or you'll have this run that just is unbelievable. You're ready to just never mush again, and then the next day you go out and you have one of those magical runs, and you're hooked again, and mushing's just like that, and we try to keep that camaraderie and that learning and story sharing going at the checkpoints. And the fortunate thing with the Don Barros, because there isn't a lot at stake, our mushers do take the time and visit and communicate with one another, and it's a good place, you know, just to watch different people using their cookers and using different things on their on the trail, and what works for one person. I had an anchor, and I always caught heck for it, but the anchor was the only thing I could use to keep my dogs from bolting, and then other people have different snow hooks. So this is another opportunity to swap stories there on the Don Bowers.
You know, Beth, we've really concentrated on the focus of your race itself, help for those rookies that need it. And I have to ask a question. You know, I'm a parent of two teenagers, and, of course, they think they know everything in the world. And if you know anything about kids, teenagers know it all. What about some of these rookie mushers? Do a lot of them take the time to seek out this information, or do they, you know, get on the trail there, they do think they know it all, and often they get shown up by their own mistakes on their own? No, you know, nobody has to tell them that. Or do they just kind of just sit back and watch? What's the typical rookie look like out there? Are they out there, you know, talking to folks like Vern? I know the year I ran your race, he was right there at the checkpoint, and he pointed out to me, hey, this dog doesn't look quite right. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning at, you know, 30 below. And, you know, that's something I didn't even see. And, you know, a veteran like Vern Halter, he pointed it right out just right as we pulled into the checkpoint. Do these folks really seek out this information, or do they think they're know-it-alls?
To be honest, I can really only base it on my experience with the Don Bowers. And I've seen both. And usually by the end of the first layover, most of them are interested in learning. Most of the rookies themselves do kind of come in all hot to trot at the musher meeting, and some of them, you know, are real feisty at the beginning of the race. But by the time they hit are overnight there in Trapper Creek, most of them have changed their tune and their focus and are really, really willing to learn, and if they aren't, then this isn't the race for them, because the egos get left at the door, and that goes for all of us, volunteers and mushers. And it's easy to leave them at the door, because the experience of I've had is everybody, mushers and volunteers alike, are just trying to keep it low-key and have fun, and that's the priority. And unless we see something really drastic, we address that at the time. And I don't think we've ever had anybody get in anybody's faces, any of the race judge's faces or race marshal's faces, when we've pointed out that there's been an issue. Everybody's been pretty open and willing to learn. We haven't always had a veterinarian. Janie Hempstead has been our veterinarian the last 3 years. She's going to be joining us this year, and she's also found another vet to help us, Molly Yazowinski. And she really likes to focus on foot care and the health of the dogs, and she's more than willing to spend the time with the mushers. And every musher that I've been exposed to has kept that open attitude and has been willing to listen and to hear what she has to say. The professionals, you know, that are with the organization, they're more than happy to listen to them.
You know, thanks a lot for that information. And I really wanted to focus on that because, you know, a lot of rookies out there, you know, they haven't had that feedback like they should. And I'm glad that you guys are able to provide that. Beth, we're just about out of time. It went very quickly. Thank you very much for joining us. I know your guys' 300 race is full, but the 200 still has some spots left. You can go to donbowersmemorialrace.org to find out more information. Of course, they have a Facebook page as well. Anything else you want to say in the last 30 seconds or so?
Just come and join us. We're always open to volunteers. All they have to do is go to the Facebook page or the website and get in touch with us. We're happy to have them on board.
Well, Beth, thank you very much for joining us. Beth Wheeler calling in from Arizona. She'll be back up here in Alaska before you know it, and we'll be looking forward to racing here in mid-January. Beth, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.